Karen.
There's John. There's Karen.
Yeah, everybody's joining in.
Hi, John.
How's everybody?
Good.
Golfer Street, you okay today?
Busy. Yeah, I hit a couple tournaments today. So good. Karen was up here. She played in between them. For nine.
Karen, did you sneak in between tournaments?
Have a microphone on.
Can you hear us, Karen?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay. I'm trying to get everything adjusted.
Yeah, I know. This is, yeah, my this contrast is, my first is a little, time. Little too high here.
Oops, I just lost you.
We'll see if who else joins.
There we go. Okay, I've got you back.
Yeah, my computer's like 11 minutes fast. I don't know why.
It's 11 minutes fast. Computers are usually on network time.
This one's not. It won't give me. I don't have the admin access to it. I've just gotten used to it. I think my portion will be pretty good till we get down to the discussion.
The discussion on what?
On the committee member.
Oh, okay.
Roger, what else is going on? I played Hill Air Force Base Monday.
Did you?
No, I don't.
Just keep it in the fairway.
I played in that commander's cup, so I was played with four other amateurs. They could take my drive. So I was just trying to bomb it out there on the phone. I don't think their golf course is in any better shape than ours. And I've always heard rave reviews.
There's actually runs a little hot and cold that public course. It's usually pretty good. Their greens are usually pretty good.
Yeah,
but they don't always. I've played it a few times where the fairways aren't cut well at all.
I didn't like the layout either. I don't like the.
No, it's old style. It's kind of old style.
There was a couple of holes that were really cool.
But you do have to keep it in the fairways there.
Yeah.
Unless you enjoy chipping sideways from the trees.
Have to remember that. Going to be playing that with the Utah Golf Association that day that they have it up there.
Yeah. Northrop Grumman just a tournament up there about 2 weeks ago that I played in. It was, of course, it was in pretty good shape, but it was, I didn't think it was as good as
either. Yeah.
Especially not the greens.
What are we going to do if, because of the drought, they say golf courses can't use any culinary water?
We
pray for rain.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. So I know we're so they've got the 20th is a shutoff for secondary. We're connected to culinary through the first. So we'll have access through it to the 15th if we need to. Minimal.
He can pump some out of the lakes there too.
Yeah. So if we can get through the first, we can do greens probably out of the pond for 3 or 4 use.
Mm-hmm.
That's worst case scenario. It just depends on what the weather's like from the 1st to the 15th of October.
Yeah, I mean,
we might only have to water once or twice.
Yeah, we're fortunate. We got a little bit of rain here. It makes a big difference because even when you sprinkle, it never saturates like real rain does. So, it's
today, the high is going to be 65 and with rain showers. So maybe fall is coming, at least temporarily. So every little bit helps.
Well, there's cool. Let me get you another chair. I'm sorry. I'm good.
What's happening, Court? Life. Life, but not life as we know it. Not life as we knew it 3 years ago.
I'll give Brian a couple minutes. Maybe one or two more minutes, and we'll see if Brian gets on, and then we'll go from there.
I sure.
Do you have a thing?
I have it.
Yeah, well, it's only 4:59, so for those people that are punctual, he might not be here yet. So the cart paths are looking pretty good, except for the morons that ran through the wet tar.
Yeah, I was just talking to Roger about that. I'm not too pleased with Holbrook company that did it. I told Roger a D-, and that's being generous.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Glad you said that. I mean, they certainly ripped up a lot of grass along the side too with their machines, and then as far as the cart path goes, it's sealed, but you know, is it really a first class path? Not yet. It could use a whole repaving.
They were slow and sloppy. They didn't do it on time. They didn't meet any deadlines, and then they did a sloppy job on top of that.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was perfect.
Well, if we reseal again, I mean, it's almost like you're going to have to close the course until that stuff dries. Because, I mean, I can't believe where people drove over it and then where they drove after they drove over it. You know what
I
mean?
Well, that was the thing. I closed the golf course all day Thursday last week for them to finish, and they didn't. And I wasn't going to close the golf course for another day.
So they
scope off everything that they needed to spray. And they didn't do any of it. I called them about 11 o'clock and said, why aren't you roping stuff off? And they basically said, well, okay, we'll try to do it. And that was.
We'll try to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ken ought to hold back 10% of the fee, you know.
And say, crappy service, crappy job. It costs us more to repair some of your problems, and we're taking it out of it.
Well, plus, you lost $18,000 to $20,000 by having the golf course closed on Thursday, so they could complete the job, and they didn't complete the job.
I'll get with Paul.
Don't be pushing around, man. They do crap. This is a world where people are expecting good service.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't sell for that.
No.
You need to get strong. If you start this construction, guess what?
No.
You need some skin and some calluses.
You guys,
you're going to have to kick some ass around here with these contracts.
I should have recorded the conversations I've already had. I mean, it was.
Well, yeah, except that nothing gets their attention like holding money back.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I have talked to Ken and Paul about that.
Well, that's just me.
Yeah.
They're contractors. They're used to harsh language. That just rolls off their skin.
See where the legalese lands.
Well, I'm not beyond making a bite.
We need to make our contracts like when you rent a place from Vacation Rental by Owner, VBRO. I'm just renting a place in a couple of weeks. And I mean, you have to sign a 19-page document in order to be able to stay at the place.
Well, I'll look at the information, what we have, and see what we can do. I don't know why these guys are so small.
Well, All right. So, Tyler, do you want us to get started? I mean,
yeah, let's start.
Okay. So, welcome everybody who's on board. I guess it's only the five of us, huh? Okay. And as everybody looked at the minutes from August 11th, and can we get a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve August minutes.
In a second.
I haven't seen them, but I'll have a second.
All right.
I trust Roger. They were so.
All those in favor? Aye. All right. Tyler, I think it's over to you for a revenue update.
We'll go. We'll start with August. I'll just get out of the way a little bit.
No, here.
Okay, so August 2020, 10,841 rounds, nearly 260,000 revenue. That was a record. So then August 2021, we're down
10%,
1,000 rounds, but we're up $6,000. So 265, 183 on revenue. So that puts us July 1 through August. I should say August 13th, dyslexia got me there. That is August 31st, sorry, not September 13th. So August 31st, almost 20,000 rounds, 527. So that, another record, July and August for revenue.
So on a per round basis, what's that work out in?
I think around 25.
Oh, which one?
Both months.
Well, yeah, except that the one's better than the other.
They were pretty close. August and July.
No, I'm talking about August and July. So,
oh, yeah, 25. This is closer to 26. Yeah. We can do it.
Where did we make up the revenue difference?
Merchandise.
That's good. Yeah. So, $24 last year.
At 2401, 2705.
Okay.
2401 was a dollar per round last year, right. 2705 this year.
So $3 different.
No, we got more revenue per round.
Yeah. So that's like a 50% increase.
Yeah, employees are doing a lot better and asking, can we get you anything else? Do you need range balls or golf balls on every transaction? So we're picking up.
Well, to be down more than 1,000 rounds and yet be up in revenue is phenomenal.
Yeah, but the 50% increase in the per cap, in our world, we measure it in per caps.
Yeah.
And so your per cap is up by 15%.
Yeah.
That's very good. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, just a question here, Tyler. I mean, at some point, are we going to get the expenses too? I mean, like if the revenue increase is due to merchandise, I mean, we're only making a small percentage on that compared to the, you know, greens fees. So a dollar is only worth about 80 cents or 20 cents, really, as far as bottom line. So
closer to 35 cents, 65.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your typical market on merchandise? Is there a typical?
We're key selling on a lot of stuff. Golf balls and hard goods, yeah. Less so. But okay. I mean, we're even more so on some of our apparel items.
That's good.
60% markup on, especially some of the newer stuff. You have the expenses, John. I sent everybody a Google link, a Google Drive to, I haven't updated August, but you have July on there.
Okay. I mean, has the city finished the last fiscal year with any kind of a, you know, final number?
No.
Which
yeah.
Revenue?
I mean, so
revenue was up $350.
They're informal.
We made $350 from losing $350 week. The $700,000 swing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty good.
That's better than good.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years. If you look at 2 years ago, the loss was just under $1 million. So that's what you have to really look at.
Yeah, it's $450 plus appreciation. I didn't put your
numbers. Well, hopefully they bowed down to you when you walk in City
Hall. I have a
They bowed to no one.
No,
they should.
So, you know, August was really, really good. Then we'll move on to, oh, here's Andrews. You might want to listen in. Okay, now we look at September. Last September, we did 9,500 rounds, 236,000 in revenue. Here's Brian. Oops, let me go back. Okay, now September 20th, 2020 through the 14th. Comparing where we're at through the 14th this year, 4,400 rounds, 4,200 rounds. So we're down only 142, which I'll get to in a sec. And then revenue, we're up 2,300 compared to last September, which again was a record year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had the windstorm, which wiped out a day.
Just a day.
And then this year I would equate our cart path, seal, and construction to 2 days. So we really cost ourselves a little bit more this year with the projects we had, but I was pleased to see we're about the same spot.
So the cart path construction actually cost us about 280 rounds, wouldn't you say?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Probably 600. We'd be up in rounds if we hadn't had the cart path construction. But it's a necessary evil, and it's done, and hopefully we don't have to be out again for a long while.
Your per cap's down. You're so far you're 25
in September.
In September, yeah. Compared to 27. So I mean you're up compared to the year before.
And we will be. So we have two really big golf tournaments. This one this week and one next week that we'll spend. Tomorrow we'll probably spend close to $90,000 in merchandise. And then the one next week will be about 30,000 merchandise. So that will help those numbers. We have a couple other. This tournament week is full. We have one tomorrow. We had one Tuesday. We had one today. We have one tomorrow. We have one Friday. We have one Saturday. And we have an afternoon tournament on Saturday. And we have a tournament Tuesday and Friday and Saturday next week. So September will be a good month for revenue. We kind of backloaded it with tournaments. So where we're at now, I'm pleased to see that because we'll be significantly higher, I think, through the rest of the month on revenue.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I thought going into July, if we could be within 10% of last year's $1.9 million, we'd still make money. So if we can finish out the year pretty well and be right on last year's, I mean, that's pretty good.
So, Tyler?
Yeah.
I missed, if you talked about August at all, how did we end up in August?
Yeah, so we were
be on time.
A little bit down in rounds, but up in revenue. So we're 265, 183.
Okay.
So a little bit ahead of last.
I was waiting to be let in, by the way, for
about
5 minutes. So I was 2 minutes late, but.
So I think the biggest takeaways is last July, August, September, October, and the rest of the year were all record months, and we've had a record July and a record August already this year.
So, okay.
Yeah. And then here, just I want to give everybody an idea on merchandise where we're at. You might want to start on the right. So fiscal year 19, 20, 21 showed you kind of, it was really flat in merchandise sales through the last 10 years, around 130 to 150. So last fiscal year, we're at 214. And I make a note that that's without very many tournaments. And then this year, so far, July, August, September, we're at 74,000 already. So that all those July, August, September have, well, July and August blew away previous records, and September will be right up there with all these tournaments the rest of the month. So we're already at 16 through the 14th of September. So
what do you attribute? Better merchandise, yeah. Redoing the room, teaching the guys. I mean,
yeah, all of it. A lot of it's, you know,
are you holding them accountable to the?
Yeah, we're doing some incentives. Okay. Trying to get people to sell things, trying to encourage them to offer things to people. When someone walks in, if they're looking, you don't just let them look. You're
engaging.
Can help them find something. You're looking for sizes. You know, those types of interactions with customers. So.
You look like you need a new putter.
Yeah. And give me recommendations too. Are you looking for a putter? You know, this one's really nice. Those types of things. I think our professional staff does really well. And, you know, we have one of the four of us that are, there's two apprentices and then two, Brent and I are PGA professionals, but all four of us, one of us is here about 100% of the time. So, thank you.
There's a better variety and higher quality of merchandise available to be sold. And when all of these tournaments and outings come in, see like the big ones, like they're gonna do what, $3,500 just in merchandise, they've already committed to that.
Yeah, 35, it's sitting in the back.
See those boxes? Well, they've already purchased that. That doesn't count. People are coming by balls and hats. And,
So when they're doing a tournament and an outing, he's getting a commitment up front for them to do a couple thousand dollars in merchandise through the shop also.
So that's an automatic
big add-on. That's huge.
Yeah, I know we sold this tournament today. We pre-sold them two hybrids, 36,000 dog bombs, just small things like that. But we give them a deal on, but we still get a good percentage.
So that's just part of the sales pitch. They're not required to do that as part of the tournament, but as part of the pitch.
Which is sort of strongly suggested, formally say, look, we've got this. You're going to get a much better deal here than if you go to a retailer.
We'll do more of that as we kind of get more and more tournaments. With this new point of sale system, we can kind of set up shops for them to pick things and select items. So we'll kind of work our way into that. If you look at the bottom right, so July through, I think I had the 14th, we're up $20,000 over last year's record of $214,000. So I mean, the expectation is for us to blow out, or, ultimately I'll probably spend more, like John said, but if we're getting sales, that's okay. I'll make a note too. I looked this morning, we have $23,000 of unused merchandise credit that expires on the 15th of November. So if those customers do use that, then that's $23,000 of merchandise out. And whatever they don't spend is just free money back to the city. So fingers crossed nobody spends it, but kind of hope they do. So. Driving range, we're down a little bit from last year, $3,500.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I would say July and August just because it was so hot.
Okay.
In September, we're about right on where we were at last year. So you look at driving range revenue from $50,000 to $31,000 to $102,000, and we'll probably be right at that $100,000 rate again this fiscal year.
So... $100,000 for the year. I guess I'm trying to quantify the percentage.
100.
So you're gonna, you might be down 2 or 3%.
Yeah, not very much.
But, okay.
And remember, last year was record on the range by a long.
And we do have some amenities coming to the driving range that will.
But it's still up 100% from where in 19 was the range. Okay.
So it's been well. We've got some bags down. We're still waiting on those. They're waiting on metal. They should be down the end of this month, but I might.
It's just in time for winter.
Yeah, I'd say my heart won't be broken if they show up in the October and we'll get them out first next year. So, and then I just want to give an idea on food. So their July 2020 numbers were higher than the 19 numbers, even with COVID. So. Give you an example, they're up from $9,000. This is the city's portion. So our revenue is up from nearly 13,000. So they've done really well in July and August as far as their revenue.
But that's the city's take. It's just under 13,000.
Yeah. So for 2 months, that's our take. September will be busy for them too. We'll have a lot of events. They've catered a lot of weddings that were booked previously, a lot of tournaments. So
compared to the last 2 years, that's good. But you know what? Compared to everywhere else, that's not good.
No. So I wanted to show it to you because it's...
Yeah. That's really a low number.
You know, there I at...
Food and beverage. Food and beverage.
Anyways.
Did I hear that they got kicked out of the...
I'm not sure if they were kicked out or they chose to leave. I've kind of had both sides of the story. So I think... They were okay stepping away from it by the end.
We'll discuss that.
Construction update. So I'm working on getting two more estimates on full set plans for the building. I wasn't too happy with JZW's timeline of 2 months to get it done and their cost. So before I go back to them, I'm reaching out to two others. I'm waiting on proposals from them. If we do come down to JZW, I'm planning on meeting with them, Ken, and Larry Palmer, who's the city inspector. He knows exactly what we need as far as to include on plans. And any of you are probably welcome to join that meeting as well if you'd like. But I'll let you know on that. So MHPN is one of the other ones we worked with before. And then Hive Architects is the other group that we're waiting on a proposal from. CARTS will be on this this next city council meeting. I didn't include it last time because there was we kind of went back and forth on whether we should purchase or lease. We've settled on purchase, but we're going to move it to the next fiscal year. They were initially saying that they would be able to deliver second quarter of next year. And it was getting closer and closer to third quarter. So rather than trying to do a budget adjustment this year, we're just going to put it on next year's budget. We still need approval to get kind of in line to get these ordered. So that's
that part. Is that because they're stuck coming?
I think a lot of it's, plastics, I think, are probably the biggest.
So they just can't make them back.
And that's why they're giving us such a high value for our trade-ins, because they have no inventory. They have no used inventory. They have no new inventory. So we'll kind of lock in that trade-in value now.
And then use them and beat them up for the next.
So it'll work out kind of well.
Just as a matter of clarification on the construction, so you're going to look at some other architects, but our original architect, JDW, right, has already been paid for what they've done so far, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like, so we're not bound to them. Okay.
See, and the frustration I have is they're telling me that they're not busy, that they have time for it, but it's 2 months. I've been told by other architects that, we'd love to jump on it. It would take us about a month. So that's what I'm waiting on the estimates for. This project that we're doing is not a complicated, reworking the HVAC lines and let's change the whole roof line. It's not a complicated project. And I'm frustrated with JZW because I almost feel like they're busy. They don't have time for it. So they're jacking up the price on us to get us to either go away or they'll do it for that price. So that's where.
So you're not only looking for a better price, but you're looking for a better timeline.
Yeah, somebody can get it cheaper, just the same quality and faster.
I think the whole committee was in agreement that their price structure was a little high.
Yeah. Especially for the work they've already done. I mean, I feel like the money is already done. Yeah. Now they just have to fine tune it. Anyways, so. We can either jump into my discussion on a public golf course and leave the committee addition to the end, or if you guys would like to start there, we can as well. Might be easier to do that.
Yeah, since it's up, go ahead and do the miscellaneous.
So we had three pretty good, I would call them volunteers for the golf committee that I sent you all. I'm going to kind of leave it to you guys to discuss who you'd like and who you'd propose to have the mayor appoint to this committee. And I'll stay as neutral as I can. I think all three are great. It'd be, I know two of them from playing up here, and I think they're all good people. So.
Yeah, that's how it always makes it difficult. I mean, all the resumes look pretty good. I mean, it would help. I mean, do you have a personal preference? I mean, I don't think the committee's concerned about, a bias to you or from you. So, I mean, if you think one is stronger for something that we need coming up, we'd really like to have that input.
I was going to ask Ken, who's not with us today, a couple of questions regarding the committee. First of all, what is the committee looking for in another committee member? At the same time, we might actually redefine what the committee is supposed to accomplish. some specific objectives. I'm not sure we've ever really done that. But the other thing is, do we absolutely need to add another person to the committee? There's an old saying, less is more when it comes to committees. And yet you want to have an odd number in case you have an important vote. Not that we would ever have a really important pending vote, but those were some questions I was going to ask Ken. And the other, my only personal observation would be, we have one person who served on the committee previously who has pretty good background, and quite honestly, to be forthright, is very, would represent a little bit different age perspective than what is currently on the committee. Not that the current committee is a little long in tooth, but it is. And we could probably benefit from a younger perspective if only one person. The committee members now are great, and I think everybody brings some strengths to the committee. And, what are we looking for in the committee? You know, Ron Gibson is great. He's a former CEO of Poistar Corporation, and he's a good guy. But I'm not sure. You know, you're going to hear this a lot everywhere. You know, I'm not so sure he isn't eminently overqualified, I guess would be the most diplomatic way to say it. But those are just my personal observations, John. I don't know.
All right. Well, I guess I would throw in, you know, looking through, maybe I'm a little prejudiced towards a CPA, but I thought Eric Williams probably had the best credentials of what I think this committee is supposed to be. We're into the construction and all that right now, but in the long term, we're looking at the viability of the golf course, you know, how to produce new revenue streams and things like that. And from his resume, it seems like his background would fit in. Looking and saying it's of the three, I think he's the strongest. I guess I would put Corey number two from experience with him before on the original committee, because I think he's pretty good also. The trouble is all three of them are pretty good, but I think I would pick Williams first and then Corey number two. And I don't know, do we want to do some kind of an evaluation like we did when we hired Tyler and take certain attributes and rate them and, you know, see how we come out? I don't think this is something we have to make a decision on tonight.
The appointment earliest would be not until the first city council meeting in October.
Okay. So, we could put a, you know, little spreadsheet out there with different attributes and everybody could rate them and we could kind of go by a rating system and see. It's always a problem when you have three good candidates, it's very hard to choose. And I think any one of the choices could be good. And I guess going back to your question, Roger, I think the committee is constituted as a public committee and it's supposed to have six members.
Well, I think the number of members, though, is up for discussion. Quite honestly, after reading all of their resumes, I would say, if you don't mind having a large committee, invite all three to join the committee. I think they all three bring. This is always the problem with selecting committee members for any committee. You're going to make one person happy, and you're going to make two people very disappointed. You're going to make one friend and two enemies. And there's really no reason to do that for a committee of like this. You know what I'm saying? This isn't the we're not trying to elect a senator or a congressman or anything. So you say let's evaluate each one of them. I think all three are excellent, have excellent credentials, and I don't know how you would honestly differentiate one from another.
So, guys, two questions to start with. First question is it our job, or do we just make the recommendation to city council?
Yeah, so you're making a recommendation to the mayor to appoint.
To the mayor, yeah.
And will he do what we suggest?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay.
I think he will weigh it, but I think it's ultimately his decision. Court, do you have a feeling here?
Well, I appreciate that, but my next question was actually, is there a conflict of interest? And conflict of interest for me, because I know the three of them very well, personally.
Well, I'm in the same boat.
And so is there a conflict of interest? Do I have to bow out? Or,
no.
Or because
no.
I do know them, that's an advantage.
Okay. Can I just jump in here and say I was very before the mayor asked me to be on the committee, I was just aware of the committee being formed, and I was very surprised, frankly, that Ron Gibson was not included, and I actually took a little bit of heat about that from some of his neighbors questioning why I didn't put Ron on the committee, and I had nothing to do with it. So I had a discussion with the mayor just recently about these three, and part of the, you know, like most things in Utah, there are geographic ward boundaries and Court and Ron are both in the same ward, and the same ward as the mayor and myself.
And Corey.
And
Eric.
Yeah. Well, my point was, that's why he went outside and brought in the other guy that's now left us. And I had a conversation with Ron a few months ago. Told him there was an opening. Was he offended at all, or was he happy to serve? And he said he was happy to serve. And then the mayor did bring up that we're all old guys. But he also mentioned that he didn't think that from previous experience on the other committee that Corey was an asset. But, you know, a little disappointing, he thought. I have no idea if that's valid or not. Eric is a tremendous person. So is Corey. So is Ron. I do feel a little pressure because of what happened in the past to push for Ron at this point. But that's my two cents.
Does anyone have a clear view of what we're actually looking for in the new committee members? What are we looking for? I mean, someone mentioned that, I mean, John just mentioned we're supposed to help Tyler identify new revenue streams and things, but I think we're pretty much done with that. I mean, we've identified every potential revenue stream there is, and we've acted on that, and I don't know that that would be a qualifying objective for the new committee person. But what are we looking for? I mean, really, it's hard to quantify what we're looking for. It's hard to define it.
Can I give my two cents? And Brian, this, let me direct this at you, and you can sort of, because you and I both know these guys, and you and I can have this discussion, and everybody just sort of listen in and ask questions in a minute. So Eric is young. He lives on the golf course. He's an accountant.
Yeah.
He's not super wealthy, so he's not traveling a lot, so he'd be able to attend all the meetings on a regular, consistent basis.
Probably.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Corey served on the committee in the last one, and he wasn't a super involved contributor, from my experience, which gets back to him. But I had numerous discussions with him on the side, off. He's young. He also works local. Eric's not a golfer a lot. Corey is a big time golfer, and he does a lot of golfing around. And so he would bring some vision or view of other courses, pros and cons, and what's happening in the golf world in Utah. Ron is demographically our age. He's very wealthy. He's very experienced in business and in that. That being said, because of his financial situation, that can be a pro, meaning I guess if we need some extra money, he can help us put in paddleball courts or pickleball courts or whatever if we
On the other hand, because of his financial situation, I think he and his wife, and Brian, I don't know if this is true or not. They seem like they're gone a lot. And I know they got a big place up in Camas. And so now
another one
would be a priority for him. And but again, with Zooming, it doesn't matter. He can Zoom in and participate in. So that's not an issue.
Can I just throw in one thing there?
Oh, no, that's fine. And that's why I had those sort of discussions, because I wanted to throw it all out and see what your rebuttal was.
You know, I look at the committee now, and we just have this wonderful strength from our life experiences. And Ron obviously has that. And I don't know, how much we can draw on things like that. But, you know, like, for example, Ron a month ago was playing golf in a foursome with Jim McMahon and Bo Jackson.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's got to be worth something.
That's totally wrong. You won't hold that against him.
But, yeah.
Well, let's get him to bring that tournament here.
Yeah. Well.
Well, so back to my, I mean, as I described these guys individually, do you think I did a pretty good description of them? Pros and cons?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know if Eric even golfed, but he could be very valuable in crunching numbers on our renovations and things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, he told me, because I asked him the same question, because he reached out to me about his application, and I said, go for it. And I said, I'm surprised, do you play golf? And he says, oh, a little. His strength would not be in the golf thing. Corey plays way more golf, I think, than Eric.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of that's a work situation, too. I mean, again, as an accountant, you spend a lot of time behind the desk looking at spreadsheets.
Did we not have anybody show any interest whatsoever from the Foxborough area?
No. No. These were the only three applications, which was really ironic that the mayor was trying to avoid having more ward members, and the only three came from our ward.
Well, I think Corey and Eric are the only ones that applied, and I think Mayor reached out to Ron and asked him if he'd be willing to, and then send his old application.
Yeah. Well, I asked the mayor if Ron was still being considered or if he had to reapply.
Oh, okay.
And the mayor said, well, he probably should reapply. So the mayor reached out to him that way. But,
well, I think it's actually, I mean, you talk about it geographically on a ward basis, but frankly, all three of them live on the golf course. All three of them live in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which I think is an advantage. You know, they all three get, you know, what we're talking about here, and they all three have a stake in keeping the golf course nice because of the impact it has on the home values and the quality of life up here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think it's a church award issue as much as I think it's a geographic issue.
Yeah.
I would also say that Ron, when we were examining, I would say the Great Life Utah alternative, Ron did step forward informally and formally and said, look, if we need some financial assistance with the golf course, I would be happy to sponsor this or that. I would be happy to help you raise funds. There were a couple of things being batted around at that time. And, and if that's what we're looking for, if we feel like we need a fundraiser, that's great. I personally don't think
we need
in the current situation that we do need that.
We have a rainmaker right here.
We have a very good, highly qualified manager who's doing a great job.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, Ron, as I said before, you can't go wrong with any of these three gentlemen. And if I had to pick one, after hearing all of this, I guess I would cast my vote for Ron.
To your point, Brian, can we add three? I mean, is there something that's...
I think we'd have to change the bylaws. or something, but it's not that big of a deal.
Well, then the problem is as they rotate out, then honestly, too many cooks do spoil pudding.
Yeah.
But then maybe you don't have to rotate out quite as
much. Yeah. I would throw in, then we're back to the original committee we had, which I thought was a little unwieldy. There were just
too many
opinions coming from too many places. But, something that I've seen done before when you have a situation like this where it's hard to pick. I mean, you could put the three names in a hat, pull one out, and give that to the mayor, and it's going to be the mayor's decision anyway. So, that way you can really say to people, we just couldn't decide between everybody.
I think we should go ahead. I would actually say let's cast a vote right now and let's get this done. With keeping in mind that it is only a recommendation to the mayor, but I think our
maybe
in this situation is to select a candidate to present to the mayor, and then the mayor can veto it or adopt.
Yeah. John, how about if we did ranked choice voting?
Yes.
They're always trying to push that on us so we could all vote 1, 2, and 3 and add up the score.
All right. I mean, does everybody, that's really a good suggestion. And yeah. I mean, it would give the mayor something to go by if he doesn't like our first choice for sure.
Yeah.
You're just saying a spreadsheet where we each vote 1, 2, and 3 and then they tally over to the right.
With
total points. Yeah, total points. And then the mayor can see it might be a tie. Who knows?
I could pick up a form and send it out to everybody with that on it.
That'd be great.
You guys we could do it right here if you want.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Okay.
Oh. So our first choice would be three votes, 3 points, and our second choice would be 2, and our third would be 1.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
man.
And then we just add up the score.
You sure you want this on record? I'm happy to email it out.
Well, I think, we've already had quite an open and frank discussion that's being recorded, so.
I think I need to pass some gray about it. Sorry for those of you that aren't LDS.
You want us to lead off, Brian?
You know what? I actually like the idea. I'd rather not hear everybody's ideas. I'd rather have it sent out to me where I can think. I mean, can we wait? Can you send something out and then we have
20 okay.
Come back to you?
Either way, yeah.
I'd rather not hear everybody's input.
You want to be biased?
I want to be unbiased.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. So it's not going to come up right away, but by tomorrow, could everybody email to Tyler? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll
yeah.
I can get the form sent out 5 minutes after this meeting.
That'd be great.
That's great. Yeah.
Send it to us and we'll fill it out.
No, that's the best way to do it. That's the professional
way. Well, I just honestly, I don't want to hear everybody's because I'm afraid I'm really torn because I think one of the three I think has strengths and weaknesses, and I know all three pretty darn well.
So who would be your number one pick? I've got a good point.
All right. Okay. Last item I've got on here is, and this is I don't know how lengthy we're going to get onto this. So it's a discussion on public on the golf course and not golfing public, but just the general public. From what I'm gathering, it's currently kind of a gray area. We're allowing people to walk on the golf course early in the morning and late in the evening. And I would say this summer and even last winter, and right now it's increasingly getting more and more and more and more people on the golf course to the point where I'm starting to get complaints from customers morning, middle of the day, evening with people on the golf course. And not just walking on the paths. I mean, I've seen groups of 10 people with their dogs walking down number 9 fairway at 6:30 in the evening when people are behind them playing, to people on their private golf carts coming off of Eagle Ridge Drive, heading over to 12, playing 13, 14, 15, going back to their house. And I think from my point, I made a couple notes on there, but my biggest thing right now is it's not black and white. Like, I can ask people during the day, hey, golfers are open, you guys need to get off. But with the caveat there, hey, you're welcome to come in the morning and evening. To me, there's just a little bit of confusion to where I tell one person one thing in the morning, hey, how's it going? Your dog's, you know, like this morning, I drove for the tournament. I ran into four people between 16 and 18. Two of them had their dogs off leash. One had a private cart. One was walking up, said he was walking up to the pro shop from 17 fairway. Mm-hmm. And it's just from my perspective, I would love for us to just have no access at all. And I understand that there's some concern there, maybe from other city council members, that like it as a public park for people to walk on. And we know there's some committee members that do walk on the course. So I'd love to hear some perspective. I think it's just difficult for us to manage when we're telling some people they can during certain times, but then trying to get after others during other times.
Most golf courses policy, and I thought when you drafted your policy notebook, I thought it said during golf course operation hours, no one else can be on the golf course. And that's pretty clear cut. I think when the golf course is open, you can't be walking your dog on the golf course. Well, if the golf course isn't open, you can.
Yeah, and I think that's the confusion is, for me, the golf course is open when the sun comes up and it closes when the sun comes down.
That's right.
There's no time during when the sun's up for anybody to be on the golf course.
That's right.
And it's, you know, there are some people probably at night, but then again, their dogs are off leash.
Quite honestly, on number nine, there should never be anybody walking on number nine. I mean, that's...
And when I asked them to leave,
the perimeter
I cannot tell you the attitude they gave me. Like, well, we're just walking our dogs. We're not interfering with anybody. Like, well, there's a group on number eight green coming right up. Well, we're not in their way. That's what they told me. I said, you guys can walk over across the road and get off the golf course. And I wish I knew who they were.
Time was probably one right there.
Let me ask you this. If we ban dogs, how much of it would solve? How would that solve the problem or not?
That's probably 50% of people walking their dogs.
And that's where the problem is, because the dogs run nuts.
Yeah, they're off leash.
Well, you have to clean up after the dog.
And they don't.
And nobody does.
Nobody does.
I mean, I'll admit, I'm a walker. My wife and I have dinner, and, you know, once, twice a week, we'll go out for a walk in the evening, 7 o'clock-ish, and we'll walk. But we don't walk on the golf course. We walk on the cart.
I guess my biggest point is there's plenty of sidewalks and walking areas and parks close to us.
There's really no need on the other side of the golf course
for people to be walking, even on the cart paths.
Yeah, if you're on a cart path and people are coming, you're in play.
I'm super sensitive to it. I mean, I look for who's coming and going. I'm not a, if everybody was like me,
you're probably in the
door. If everyone was like me, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Exactly.
And honestly, I think the dog people are ramping it up and causing it to be a bigger problem, because
the biggest thing for me is people with dogs and people with private parks. Those are my two biggest issues right now with people coming in. And it's hard for us to monitor in the evenings and early mornings.
Politically, how would you try to change it? You could just put signs up and then arrest people?
I would send notices out to everybody that lives within a mile of the course and post signs.
Well, as long as you have a definitive policy, then you can enforce that definitive policy. If you don't have a definitive policy, then you can't really enforce it. And you know, you start soft, you be diplomatic about it. You know, hey, we have the policy. You know, you're in play. You know, we would hate to see you get hit in the back of the head with somebody driving off that tee, which it only takes one.
Yeah, if one person does get hit and injured, then we've got a whole other. And then I think it's easier to make it black.
Well, it is a liability.
I don't want that now.
I mean, people don't want to admit that, but it's a huge liability.
Well, let me chime in. I mean, from golf courses that I play, almost all of them say no non-paid, you know, I forget exactly how they word it.
Players and no
non-paid people on the course at any time. And like Tyler's saying, I mean, the course is basically playable from sunrise to sunset, well, from dusk to dawn, because sunrise and sunset are actually later and earlier. So, I mean, I think it probably needs a policy and then get more tightly enforced over a period of time.
Yeah, my biggest concern is if I do start enforcing that, you know, dusk to dawn, I know within a week I'm going to get a call from, well, Brian's going to get a call first, and then the mayor's going to get a call, and then Ken's going to call me. I've already dreamt this. So I'm bringing it to you because I really don't know the direction to take. We do have signs out there already. It says no paying customers beyond this point. But nobody.
The other part of the problem is as rounds have gone up with COVID, there's more people playing golf. Three years ago, my wife and I walked at 9 and 7 o'clock, and guess what?
Nobody.
We never, hardly ever had an issue with a golfer. And it was, I saw the signs, we ignored them because there were never golfers we had to worry about.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, it's got exponentially more of a bigger issue, and we are more sensitive. That's normal. But, you know.
Well, like on Monday playing men's association, I mean, three times a couple of kids, different kids, came across the fairways. I mean, they did look and they did wait for us to go by them, but I mean, they're cutting across by the 16th, especially. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, very hard to enforce. I mean, a year ago, going down on number, 15, number 14, his kid and his mom playing in the sand bunker there. So we called the police. By the time the police arrived, they had gone back into their house, wherever it was, and the police couldn't find them. But I mean, you know, people are going to do whatever they can get away with. And the only way to, you know, put any teeth in anything is to have some enforcement, you know, on a reasonable basis. I mean, and certainly in the wintertime, I mean, it's been used for sledding and so forth. And I guess, you know, that's, we just turned a blind eye to that. But I mean, at least there's no golfers and nobody's going to get injured out there. So it's just a tough call.
So if I walk in the evenings, can I carry a golf club and a golf ball with me?
I get free access.
Not unless you've paid your green fees.
And part of that too goes with the private parts. A lot of the neighbors down that live on the north end of the course, lower, think that they could just come on the golf course wherever, start playing, play a couple holes, and then go home. Part of this is I want everybody to check in at the pro shop. So whatever I send out or do send out, and maybe this is separate, but there's no access to the golf course unless you check in the pro shop, and there's no practicing on 17 greens. You don't practice, come up to the putting green.
Mm-hmm.
Just small things like that that have, I think, increasingly gotten worse.
Yeah, just send everybody a reminder and, say this is the policy. And, you know, that's why North Salt Lake has so many great public parks, you know, to walk your dog and to walk. And you have the Bonneville Shoreline Trail all the way.
So, Tyler, just a little historical. When we first moved in to Eaglewood, you know, and we're talking 20 plus years ago. There was always this promise of a park. It was going to be right next to the church right there on Eagle Ridge Drive. And that never happened. And so I think the golf course became a natural substitution for it. I haven't done it very often, but I have walked on the golf course in the evening, you know, after dark. I don't have a lot of heartburn about that. I could say though pretty firmly that
after dark we don't mind.
If the sun's up at all, you shouldn't be on the course. And I also feel strongly that there shouldn't be dogs on the course. Because, boy, and I'm a dog owner, but You know, as I walk out the Bonneville Shoreline Trail, there's people that don't clean up after their dogs.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a given.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could always blame like the trust or something, you know, like for liability reasons.
Yeah, just blame it on liability, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Blame it on the state attorney.
Yeah. But it's kind of, you know, let's face it. I mean, it's going to be tough to enforce if someone went out there at midnight and went for a little walk on the course.
Well, actually, if someone walks at midnight, I mean,
who cares?
Yeah.
That's not a huge deal other than the fact that, you know, somebody might kill them.
Yeah, and I'm okay with dark. And even though I wouldn't recommend walking anywhere out there in the dark. I mean, the paths right now are pretty good, but you can find some pretty uneven lines off the park path.
Yeah. Have we had a lot of vandalism? I know a few years ago we had some graffiti.
We've had a few. Both Coke machines, the bathrooms have been smashed. A few of the greens have been vandalized. A few of the bunkers, we've had some rakes broken, flags broken. I mean, more so this, the last couple months than I can remember last year.
Why do you think that is?
It's since school started, it's been less.
Yeah.
July and August were pretty bad. Yeah, we had bikes. We had bike gang.
A bike gang.
Yeah, I don't know what they were. They ruined a couple greens for a little while. But
mm-hmm.
We'll get their names. I'll report them to the bishop.
Well, I did get to where they lived and mentioned it to Craig. They stopped by and talked to me. So we did get after the girls that were doing it.
Well, maybe a sort of funny sign, you know, no deer or people permitted on the golf course at any time unless they're paid golfers.
Well, I think
the deer have done plenty of damage to those greens too when you look at their hoof marks.
General consensus would be for you're okay if I'm pretty black and white enforcing the policy that we currently have and maybe just referring then to it's a liability for you to be out here. It's in the city and course policy that the golf course is open. You can't be out here and absolutely no dogs.
I think you ought to be really outspoken about the dogs. You know, we're trying to maintain and raise the standard on the golf course. And unfortunately, this has been abused.
Yeah.
I'll get with Linda and maybe if I can even just mail something out and mail it to everybody that lives around the course. Just to give them a notification. I'll post in the Eaglewood neighborhood Facebook page.
Just put it in the monthly bill that they send everyone.
Yeah, maybe have to put on the newsletter. I think that's a good start. I didn't want a bunch of people calling Brian, so that's why I brought it today before I started yelling at them. So.
Well, do we have a course marshal?
Yeah, I'm not that late. I mean, I'm not that early.
Well, with the course marshal, just give them a gun. And a flashlight, maybe some mace, a taser. Tase a couple of dogs, and guess what? The problem will stop really bad.
Okay, yeah. I think we're drifting a little bit. I think Tyler has a sense of what he needs.
Well, that's all I had, unless anybody else had any questions.
I move that this meeting close.
Karen's got a tea time here. 20 minutes.
Okay. All in favor.
Okay. All right. Aye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank all right. You. Thank you. Good night.
I do think it's worth congratulating Tyler for his ongoing success in the second year after COVID.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye bye now.
Take care.
Thanks, Andrea.
See ya.
It's all over almost.